This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 14th, 2016. Shoot in for questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
And then item 7 on our agenda are rulemaking proposals. First, a motion to open a rulemaking to assist those accepting corporate contributions or making corporate expenditures in compliance with existing campaign finance law, which has been proposed by Commissioner Weintraub, as well as a motion regarding foreign national rulemaking, which has been proposed by the vice chairman. Any questions or comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been looking forward to the opportunity to speaking about this. I had originally been intended to talk about this at the last meeting, and then it got canceled at the last minute, so that was a little bit frustrating. But as I said, I had been planning on introducing a motion, and I put the document on blue styled as a motion just to largely to give my colleagues a sense of what issues I wanted to discuss here. I am actually not going to make the motion today because I have been made an offer that I can't refuse by the chairman. I had asked if I could invite a couple of legal scholars to come in today to help inform the commission's judgment on this issue. And the chairman made me a counterproposal, a very gracious counterproposal, to allow me to convene a forum on this topic of corporate money and foreign influence, and to really fully flesh out the issue and help inform the commission. And should we get 4 votes to start a rulemaking down the road, I think that forum would help inform our staff and the Office of General Counsel in crafting a well-thought-out rulemaking proposal. So I'm very excited at the opportunity to convene that forum. I would like to have there some legal scholars, academics, and based on the academic calendar and people's schedules, we've decided to wait until June to do that because it'll free up more of those people, make them more available to come and advise us. So we are tentatively thinking about doing that on June 23rd. And I am looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very informative. I think this is a really important issue. So even though I'm not going to make the motion, I just want to give an overview. I know I suspect most of the people at the table read my op-ed in the New York Times. A lot of people in this country are frustrated with Citizens United, and I think that and its aftermath. And I think that part of that frustration stems from the shorthand that's been adopted in describing it. When people say corporations are people, you know, you talk to people outside of this building, outside of Washington, and they know full well that corporations aren't people. I know corporations aren't people. You know corporations aren't people, and indeed the Supreme Court knows that corporations aren't people. It's a legal fiction. And it's the court's view of corporate rights actually was explained perhaps best in the Hobby Lobby decision, which I think was another decision that caught a lot of people by surprise because it fundamentally suggested that corporations have religious views. If there's anything more counterintuitive than the notion of a corporation with political views, I think it's got to be the notion of a corporation with religious views. But the court explained that the notion of corporations as persons is a legal fiction. They said it explicitly. A corporation is simply a form of organization used by human beings to achieve desired ends. When rights, whether constitutional or statutory, are extended to corporations, the purpose is to protect the rights of these people. And that actually makes a lot more sense. You know, whether you agree or disagree with Citizens United or Hobby Lobby, the notion that it's to protect people's rights, real human beings' rights, that we talk about the legal fiction of corporate personhood, that actually makes a lot more sense. But then the question is, what happens when those real human beings don't actually have the rights that are being protected? Because even though the court said in Citizens United that one can't discriminate based on a speaker's identity, on a political spender's identity, we learned subsequently in the Blumen case that actually there are some people who don't have those rights. Specifically, foreign nationals don't. And this is plain in the statute. This is not something that I'm making up to try and cause trouble for foreign nationals. The statute plainly says it shall be unlawful for a foreign national, directly or indirectly, to make a contribution or donation of money or other thing of value in connection with a federal, state, or local election, to make a contribution or donation to a committee of a political party or an expenditure, independent expenditure, or disbursement for an electioneering communication. And it is similarly illegal for a person to solicit, accept, or receive a contribution or donation from a foreign national. Now, if foreign nationals are not allowed to give individually, they don't acquire more rights if they form a corporation. And the answer can't be as simple as to say, well, we're only going to look at the where the corporation is incorporated, what its domicile is, because that would open the door to a huge amount of potential foreign intervention in our elections, because it's very easy for anybody anywhere in the world to call up a lawyer in Wilmington and say, form an LLC for me, form a corporation, and I will transfer funds from my accounts in the Cayman Islands or in Panama or some other offshore location. And it can't be the case that foreign nationals can get around the rules and the statute against foreign donations by the simple expedient of just forming a corporation in the United States. And I would hope that there would be general agreement on that point. And if that is true, then I think we really need to address the circumstances in which it is and is not okay for corporations in this country to be using the resources of foreign nationals, because it is the shareholders who own the corporations. Now, some corporations, this is not going to, I'm not trying to reinstitute a corporate ban. There are many very politically active corporations, some that get written about in the news all the time, that are closely held corporations that are owned by U.S. shareholders, and this would have absolutely no impact on them. But there are a lot of other corporations that do have resources that are owned by foreign nationals. They do have shareholders that are owned by foreign nationals. Sometimes they have substantial foreign ownership. And I think that we have failed to address this issue so far, since this has been pending out there since Citizens United. We have really not grappled with this issue. We have presented some alternatives in the past. Commissioner Walther has very helpfully pulled back out the proposal that we had put on the table back in 2011, and I'm happy to incorporate those ideas yet again into a proposal for moving forward with a full rulemaking that would solicit public comment and be both based on and solicit further expert testimony on these issues. The ideas that I put forth in the op-ed are a new way of looking at corporate spending and the role of foreign nationals, but it's not the only way of that we could look at it, and I'm happy to consider other ideas. But I think to just ignore this issue and pretend that there is no opportunity for foreign intervention in our elections at a time when more and more corporations are active, and many of them are corporations that we know very little about. The Washington Post ran an article recently, talked about how 12% of the money that's been contributed to super PACs so far in this cycle was contributed by corporations, and some of them, we know nothing about their shareholders. We don't know where that money is coming from. That's a disclosure issue, and we should also address that. but I am speaking today about the potential for foreign national money coming in through the vehicle of corporations. And I, as I said, I'm not going to introduce the motion today. I have proposed one mechanism for ensuring that foreign money is not coming in through corporate venues. As I said, I'm open to considering other proposals. I consider Commissioner Walther's document to be a very friendly amendment. Happy to have that on the table as well. Happy to hear from my colleagues as to other proposals they want to make. And as I said, I'm particularly happy to accept the chairman's gracious offer to convene a forum on this issue and to learn more about it from some real experts. I know some people have reached out to me since I wrote the op-ed talking about their concern about inversions, about corporations that are that were organized in the U.S. and are moving offshore. This is an increasing problem and one that I think we could well benefit from hearing some expert testimony on. I think the advisory opinion that we considered today is a good example how corporations can be very complicated in the way they are formed and in their interrelationships, and we are perhaps not the best experts on all aspects of corporate jurisprudence, so I think it would be good to get some further guidance on this. But I do think it's very important that we consider this issue, and I think the forum will be a good beginning step forward. It's about time we had some serious conversations at this agency on this topic, and I look forward to cooperating with my colleagues in having those discussions.
Commissioner, Commissioner Walther, would you like to speak to your motion as well?
Well, I just again want to be sure that when, as we go forward, I understand we'll have a forum, and I think that's a great idea. I want it understood that I expect that the consideration will be given also to what did come before us once before in January 20th, 2011 was after a lot of discussion and work, this came before us, didn't get passed, but at least it would be back again for discussion by the public and see if we can make some headway on the issue.
Okay. Commissioner Ravel.
This is a really timely and important topic generally to talk about, and the ideas put forth are interesting, but I appreciate hearing that we're going to be open to the forum and hearing from experts, and for that I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, for having come up with that idea as a solution to this. I think it's a really, really good idea for us to have a forum where experts can come and talk about the issues and give us an education on some of the issues and complexities that are involved in this without us, you know, going forward on a motion without thinking through what all the possible ramifications are. So I'm really pleased that this is the way that we're going to go forward on this. And you are to be commended, really, for having come up with what I think is a really good way to analyze the question. Thank you.
Sure. Well, we'll look forward to that in the coming weeks and months. And as you say, it is a it's an issue of great importance and very like you said, can involve some very complex and interesting subject matters that that are outside of our areas of expertise and that we can benefit by educating ourselves to a greater degree about some of the particular aspects of how in a post-Citizens United world how all of this works. So I'll look forward to that as well. That is the last item on our agenda. I will turn to Mr. Palmer. Do we have any management or administrative matters that need to be discussed?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
All right. Unless there is anything else that anyone needs to discuss, this meeting is adjourned.